You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I think that residents of the city, understanding the nature of the threats that we are receiving on a daily basis, understand that I have a right to make sure that my home is secure.
Those are the words of Chicago Mayor Lightfoot. This is August 21st, 2020. Mayor Lightfoot having additional police protection around her home. She said, I have every right to have additional protection from my home. I should not have my family, my home, threatened by protesters. For the rest of you, good luck. We're going to get into that in more detail a little bit later. And of course, yes, the Democrat convention came to an end. I'm sure the Democrats are relieved. We got through it, and we actually pulled off the last trick amazingly. Joe Biden appearing live. I would have bet it's going to be on tape. I'm told it's live. Everything we've looked at appears to be live, so I take it the way it was. He was locked into the prompter. I mean, his eyes barely moved, but I will have to give him some points on delivery. Now, I'm going to get into more detail on evaluation in the next hour, or in this hour as well, because I want you to hear some points that I see it in a different way than some of you, and you might not like some of the remarks I post regarding Biden and his ability, but I'm going to share them anyway. Of course, last night, appearing live and presenting himself as a prince of light against the prince of darkness.
May history be able to say that the end of this chapter of American darkness began here tonight as love and hope and light join in the battle for the soul of the nation. And this is a battle we will win, and we'll do it together. I promise you.
He promises us. And of course, they continue attacking, as he did last night, Trump and handling COVID-19. And Biden says he has a plan. He has a plan. And I was waiting. Give me the plan. First thing is, if I'm elected president, the first thing I would do is sign an executive order, a mandate, that everyone in the nation must wear a mask. I don't mean you have an opportunity to decide, well, I'm in my car, I don't need it. I'm running my tractor on the farm, I don't need it. Oh, no. No, if you are an American and you want to be patriotic, because that's the way he's posing it, then you will wear a mask. He is hearkening back to the World War II rationing, basically, appealing for folks to be patriotic. Do what's needed. Make the sacrifices as you need. And one of the sacrifices is wear a mask. Oh, and he also says we're going to push for instant testing. We're going to multiply that effort. That's already underway. And, of course, the more testing we do, the more we realize more COVID cases exist. No one's suffering. But, again, it's documented they have it. And that, again, is in part because the CDC had said probably 10% of our entire population has COVID symptoms. We just don't know it. That would be 30-plus million people, and they've only done 5 million tests. It's not going to change the situation. So I'll have more on the DNC and my evaluation of his speech last night, and I'll talk about what the DNC ignored every night. Every night. Why? Because they are afraid. They are afraid to get into the subject because it's too explosive. It's like trying to handle nitroglycerin when you're on a train. I mean, you don't want to hit a hard section of the track. This is dangerous. John LeBoutier, former U.S. Congressman from New York, a Reagan Republican, will join us with his candid take on the DNC and how he thought Biden did. And we're going to talk about all the media hypocrisy on Biden, how they cover up for them, how they protect him. I don't mean just as we are going through this current cycle, but over the decades. And they've done a pretty good job with that. And I'll also ask you, which governor promised to take a pay cut? Riddle me this, which governor promised to take a pay cut to help fight COVID in his state? But he didn't. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. I appreciate you letting your family, friends, even your enemies know we're on the air. You guys are really doing a great job of hyping the program out there, and I do appreciate it. So we're ready for this Friday. You get yourself ready. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And, of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open. Once you are open, and as you move forward, it just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I guess I grew up on an older road, a pedal to the metal, always did what I told, until I found out that my brand new clothes are came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean, there's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen, and now I just wander through a real bad dream, feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniel's Old Number 7, Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And
this is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Coming to the fire. If you want a vision of your life under Biden presidency, think of the smoldering ruins in Minneapolis, the violent anarchy of Portland, the bloodstained sidewalks of Chicago, and imagine the mayhem coming to your town and every single town in America. You're not going to have law and order.
That is President Trump. If you elect Biden and Harris, that's exactly what you're going to have. More mayhem and chaos and violence in the streets. I jumped ahead when I mentioned Pence because I'm looking at a headline from him that he says, and I echo it, he says, law and order was not on the DNC program. It was not. Oh, they pay some little mealy mouse words here and there, but they really did not deal with it. And there was another night of violence in Portland last night. Once again, rioting. And they just ignore it. It happened every night of the DNC. Now, coming next week, Monday, we'll start the Republican National Convention. You can bet they'll be talking about law and order and the violence in the streets. All this push to defund police, to shake things up, we've been hearing that's such a big deal that everybody's signed on to it. That's why we're in the streets and so forth. Biden did not mention that or police reform in any real effective fashion. Basically, ignore. Because that's just a dangerous subject for us, because we know many Americans are not in favor of defunding police. I've told you previously about survey, a more recent survey taken, in primarily minority communities, asking them, do you want to see police in your neighborhood more often? Do you want to see police in your neighborhood as much as they are now? Or do you not want to see additional police in your neighborhood? 80% said either give me more police or at least keep the police presence as it is. They know the danger is there. That takes me back to what I said in the opening monologue about Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot. She's suddenly aware of the danger in her own home. I'm going to spend more time on that in the next hour. But again, you have all these political leaders and Hollywood elite. They will tell you, you don't need your guns. You don't need additional protection. You're just going to live with it. And if people are protesting in the street, that's their First Amendment right. First Amendment, under the Constitution, gives you a freedom of assembly, peaceful assembly, and gives you freedom of speech, short of yelling fire in a crowded theater. So the reason they did not discuss that during the DNC is because they know even among their members, most of the Democrats that might actually be voting for Biden and Harris, most of them really want to make sure they have protection around their homes up down their streets. But again, Joe Biden last night, he started saying some things that I thought, somebody got in and hacked his message. They put words into his mouth. They put him on the prompter, and he's locked in on the prompter. He's going to say whatever's in front of him. I mean, if someone had typed in there that, watch the quick brown fox jump over the log, he probably would have read it. Here's an example of how he talked about how great this nation is, and that is contrary to everything the left has been telling us. Here we go.
This is a great nation. We're a good and decent people. For Lord's sake, this is the United States of America. And there's never been anything we've been able to accomplish when we've done it together.
Right. How many times are you hearing the left talk about how great this nation is compared to how many times they tear it down? They don't like the history of this nation. They don't like the flag. They don't like the national anthem. Even Michelle Obama, who made her appearance the other day, remember her opening words or some of her words when she was in the White House, said, you know, for the first time, I feel good about my nation. For the first time? It's given her everything she had up to that point, short of going to the White House. And she finally, for the first time, feels good about the nation? That was really copying material that was addressed to the church choir last night. And I know there are Democrats that believe that. They do believe we're a great nation. We have a difference of opinion about what to do and how to do it. But that's not the group that's leading this current push inside the Democrat Party. That is not the group that Joe Biden has been trying to sidle up against and at the same time try to keep his foot a bit away from them. Just give me a little distance, he said. Oh, and here's something else he added. And again, when you hear him say this, you have to think, who wrote this? Did he read it before he went on the air? Here we go.
Let us begin, you and I together, one nation, under God, united in our love for America, united in our love for each other. For love is more powerful than hate. Hope is more powerful than fear. And light is more powerful than dark. This is our moment. This is our mission.
Wow. And he mentioned the words, under God. Again, that is not what progressive lefts want to hear. They don't want to see any attention to God. I'm surprised. Well, I'm not, because it's all virtual. I would have liked to sing that in a full convention hall where many of the progressives were actually in attendance and they could shout out against any mention of God and the value of this nation and what we've done and how great it is. That's not the message they're peddling. That's not what they're doing in the streets, even in the peaceful protest. And when it escalates to chaos and rioting, Clearly, they are not interested in how great this nation is or that it's under God. No, what they have been wanting is to destroy this country from inside. Take God out of the classroom, take God out of the schools, take it off our money, do whatever we can to desanitize. They still have that agenda. And I'm sure when they're sitting there watching Joe Biden last night do this, they're thinking, we're going to have to re-educate Joe once he gets in the office. And, of course, they're counting on Kamala Harris to do part of it for them, because she will do whatever's necessary. She has no real values. She will go wherever the wind pushes her. But again, here's Joe Biden again about how important it is that we recognize what's at stake this time.
May history be able to say that the end of this chapter of American darkness began here tonight as love and hope and light join in the battle for the soul of the nation. And this is a battle we will win, and we'll do it together. I promise you.
We will win. The light will overcome the darkness. And the darkness, the dark prince is, of course, Donald Trump. All right, let me give you some evaluation points. Well, first of all, before I do, give you my opinion. Let me give you some of the, you know, the Hollywood elite. They loved it. They were just cheering. They thought it's so good, right on point. Aside from actually talking about details like God and nation being great, they just liked this presentation. And here's Fox News Channel's Chris Wallace. He says, and I'm quoting, "I thought it was an enormously effective speech." And he added, "Remember, Donald Trump has been talking for months about Joe Biden as mentally shot, a captive of the left." And yeah, I'll agree with that. He still is a captive of the left. And then Chris Wallace added, "And yes, Biden was reading from the teleprompter and a prepared speech, but I thought that he blew a big hole in the characterization. It seems to me that after tonight, Donald Trump will have to run against a candidate, not a caricature. The Democrats have had a good convention. Now it's a Republican's turn." Well, you can evaluate however you want. If the Democrats had a good convention, it was boring, blah, 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 nothing to it. But that's part of this virtual thing, and the Republicans are going to have to deal with that the same way. So I'll hold them to the same standard when it comes to that. But this idea that Chris Wallace, as he points out, that he admits Biden was reading from a teleprompter, as I said a moment ago. Now, I'm going to give you my evaluation, and this is based upon decades of public speaking, even back to the days in high school doing debate. See, one of the things about, for instance, debate, you're given, if you're in a contest, you're given a side. You have to prepare for both sides. And when you go in there, you find out, do I argue the pro or the con side? You better have your material together. You better know how to think on your feet and deal with the side, whichever side. You had to basically, previous competition against another team, you had to go with the pro side. Yes, 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 this. And then when you go to the other side, you find out you have to argue the other side with as much fervor. You learn something that I've often joked about folks getting into the news. If you're going to be a news anchor, if you can fake sincerity, you got it made. And that's what Joe Biden was doing last night, in many cases, faking sincerity. But let's look at points. If we were evaluating him as a speaker on oration and points, I'll give him high points. He did. He was effective. You know, really strong at points that he needed to, soft when he needed to be, demanding, urging, encouraging, and reminiscing about the loss of his son. I mean, those are things I know in many cases might be close to his heart, so it's not totally insincere. But as far as you're just looking at the points of being an orator, yeah, I'd give him high points. I would give him high points. The problem is the content. I told you before, if you don't have the steak, you got to sell the sizzle. That's what he was doing with the DNC last night. They don't have what the American public really wants or needs at this time. So they're just hoping they can have the sizzle attract you and say, okay, this is going to be good. I mean, he said, we're going to do this together, and it's going to be a new day. Well, let me share with you what Vice President Pence said as to what's really at stake.
Joe Biden said last night, Ainsley, that, democracy's on the ballot, character's on the ballot. Well, let me be clear. The economy is on the ballot. Law and order is on the ballot. And the American people know it.
Yeah, it is. Law and order. But they wanted to make a big deal out of COVID, pointing out that Trump has failed all the way around. And remember, if Biden had been the president at the time, he was not going to stop those flights from China because he told Trump that when he did it, you're being xenophobic. And right now, look what the Democrats are doing right now. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on the PBS NewsHour was questioned about the Democrats not coming up with enhanced employment benefits. They've got this $3 trillion bill and they won't budge. And the president, by executive order, said, all right, let's get some money out to the people. And she was asked about that. And her answer is, well, from a policy standpoint, when unemployment reaches a certain point, you would automatically have unemployment benefits. That's a very positive initiative. I welcome that. But I think strategically is not where we should go right now, because Republicans want to pass something and say, forget about it. In other words, she's saying Republicans are playing this and helping the people, and if we step up and do it, then we will be adding and helping the Republicans. Did that not show you how they have taken this epidemic and weaponized it? And then you got Cuomo, what he's doing, and the media hypocrisy around Joe Biden. We'll take a break, come back, and get deep into those subjects.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So again, last night, and the speech in the DNC and the way it's being covered last night by the mainstream media and Joe Biden, and again today, and it will continue. They're going to mock anything they can about Trump. They're going to do everything they can to cover up Joe Biden. The Conservative Media Research Center put together a montage of media members discussing or downplaying Biden's long history of infamous gaffes and problems. The editor said, when Republicans make a mistake, they get pillared by the national press. But when Democrats blunder and fumble, they can count on a friendly news media to help them clean up the mess, which is a good news for Joe Biden. He added, TV journalists have been excusing Biden's gaffes for as long as he's been making them. And that's true. They all step forward to defend Biden time after time, constantly. But, of course, if Trump or anybody on the Republican side makes anything they can attack, they will. Now, last night, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, spoke. Do you think anybody today is writing about, other than maybe on conservative outlets, here's Hunter Biden actually appearing and speaking, the one that is an expert, apparently, in energy, that he got that multi-million dollar deal after his daddy went over to Ukraine and stopped an investigation. No, they're going to again give it a pass. Liberals are upset, by the way, with the Washington Post. The Washington Post was running an ad, a pro-Trump ad and an anti-Biden ad on the same page, and the liberals were so upset. How dare you run those two ads like that? You were just basically hurting us. And one of them wrote, were those pieces of silver worth the price of your soul? I'm ashamed of you. So when the liberal see any time that they're attacked, they come off in a hurry. New York Governor Cuomo has been brushing off comments about his administration and what they have failed to do with COVID. And when you see any member of the DNC during the convention speaking, or Joe Biden last night about how Trump has failed, I every time I wonder, how can you say anything about Trump when you got the governor of New York State and what he did with the nursing homes. Oh, and here's what he's facing. There are concerns that he has been underreporting the nursing home deaths, even as they are reported. Here's how they're getting around it. The idea is if you're in a nursing home and you came down with COVID and they went ahead and shipped you to the hospital for some treatment and you died in the hospital, nursing homes can wash their hands of it. It wasn't ours. Not ours. And it's true. It's a hospital patient at that time. Cuomo says, well, if you'd counted them dying in the hospital and also counted them as a nursing home death, you'd be doubling the number. I guess they could. I'm suggesting maybe put an asterisk with it. Would that help? To get some clarification, but what they were trying to do is hide the numbers. And by the way, Andrew Cuomo, families of those who lost loved ones in the nursing homes, they want to meet with him, they want to have time with him, they want an interview with him. But he just can't make time. One representative said, Cuomo failing to deal with the fatal nursing home policies. Doesn't have time for us to talk to New Yorkers who lost their loved ones in nursing homes. But he has time for a quick turnaround book deal so he can get a new book out. That should tell you everything. Take a break when we come back. John LaBoutier, Reagan Republican, on his thoughts about DNC, Biden, and where we're going from here. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My guest we've had on numerous times before, always glad to have him, John LaBoutier, former U.S. Congressman from New York, came in as a Reagan Republican, still identifies himself that way, Reagan Republican, which is different than a Trump Republican in the way that John puts it, and he's also author of the book that Harvard Hates America. John, welcome aboard again, sir.
Hello, good morning, Larry. Great to be with you. Thanks for asking me back on.
Always welcome. Let me give you a few seconds just to discuss your thought of the DNC convention overall last night. We'll save the reference to Biden in a moment.
Well, the whole 4 days, you know, I watched a good part of it and
Oh my God. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I didn't know what to expect. And it was, you know, in many ways, it was better than a regular convention as a TV show. Just, you know, because you saw people went along. It wasn't disjointed like real conventions are when they're down on the floor interviewing people and all. I thought it was okay. I mean, I'm not a Democrat. I don't dig the Democratic message generally. But as a political event, it was well run for them. And had some high moments, too. Mrs. Obama is enormously popular in this country, and I thought she did well. I thought Jill Biden, Mrs. Biden, is an A-plus human being, and should they win, she will be a very popular and relatable first lady who will be out there doing stuff. I think the Bidens, leaning out the politics, just the people, the family, are an enormously American family. They're the middle of America. They're great.
Well, let's talk about Biden.
Feel good about America to have people like that.
All right. Well, I'm going to break that down more detail, but your view on Biden and his speech. I mean, I admitted to the audience earlier that, of course, he stuck to the teleprompter, but he showed passion and energy at the right time and softness and sincerity, the whole thing. Your belief?
I look at Biden, and I say he is in the mainstream of American presidents. Trump is not, but the other ones are, all leaving out whatever difference they have on taxes and stuff. They're all sort of from the same place. They look sort of alike. They dress alike. They speak alike. And he fits right in there. What's the difference between Joe Biden and the first George Bush? very similar. You know, that neither of them speaks that well as a public speaker. They're not terrible, but they're kind of average. But their big claim to fame is their lifelong devotion to the country, and their wife and their children and their grandchildren, very similar. You know?
All right, so let me get into that then, because Biden last night, some of the things he said, and again, he said, this is a great nation, and we can do it, and all the positive things, he spoke that it's a nation under God. That is not what the radical left wants. Now, I know he's got to appeal to that base Democrat Party, but I'm looking at the radical left. They've got Harris on that ticket because they insisted he take a woman and a woman of color, and they plan, and Bernie Sanders already said, the day after he gets in, or even after the election, we will start transforming this country.
Yeah. Well, look, that's true. There's no doubt. The radical left is a big part of the Democratic Party, but they don't run the party. Joe Biden won the nomination. Well, no. He won the nomination. If we get to the point we're talking about where he's the president, he runs the country. He runs the party, not the left.
John, I got to ask you, do you really think that he would do, and first of all, is he going to last more than a month or a year? And then what happens?
That's not something I can judge whether how long he's going to last.
Well, what happens when he can't, and you got Harris moving in?
Well, we're not there yet. I mean, okay. I don't know. I mean, here's what we know. If she gets to be president that way, she's going to want to get herself reelected as president in 2024. And so, she'll easily get renominated. That's not an issue. But, you know, she's going to have to be somewhat in the center of the political spectrum in a general election to get elected. You can't be all way out lefty and win a general election in this country. So, just like you can't be way out crazy righty either. You got to somewhat tack to the middle. And so I'm not worried. Bernie Sanders and AOC, they're not running this country. And we're not there yet. We've got to win the election. They've got to win the election.
Well, Bernie has pointed out, he said, we have already won the ideological struggle. We've got free college proposed. We've got $15 minimum wage, immigration reform, part of the platform. In other words, they've got all these things set and loaded and ready to fire.
Well, that's true. And some of those things, I mean, what they're not going to get is Medicare for all. They are going to get, especially if the Senate goes Democrat, they're going to get immigration reform. They're going to get DACA. They're going to get a lot of things, by the way, that a lot of Republicans support, too. I think there is growing support for raising the minimum wage. You can't live on the minimum wage anymore in this country. I don't think that's radical. I think that's going to happen after the election, frankly, no matter who wins.
Well, let's talk about something the entire convention ignored. Every night that was underway, there were more violence and riots in Portland, and we've seen them all over the nation. They did not address at any point in any detail the violence in our streets. They'll talk about the great protest and rising up, but they're missing out on the looting, the arson, the attack on police, and basically chaos.
Yeah, well, it's not a good thing. It's not happening in all our cities, I can tell you. I'm here in the biggest city. It's not happening anymore.
But it had, right?
It did for the first month after George Floyd. But that's died down around the country, Portland. Portland is a flashpoint.
You don't think the violence in the streets is going to be a driving issue? I think it's going to be bigger than the COVID issue in my mind.
Oh, not even close.
Okay.
COVID, because listen, everybody listening to this show has someone who has a kid, and the decision has to be made pretty soon. Are we going back to school or not?
That's
COVID is way bigger than six blocks in Portland.
I still look at that as a beginning of chaos and anarchy across the nation if it's not dealt with, and it hasn't been. So let's talk about New York City. New York City. I saw a picture the other day, and you're there. You might have been actually downtown. A Saturday afternoon, the streets in New York City, bare, and all the glass windows still boarded up with plywood and everything. I mean, what is happening to that city?
Well, I don't think that's a big part of it. I think the thing in New York City that doesn't get the media coverage, it isn't riots, because that's not happening anymore, but it's equally devastating, is the streets down, I know for a fact, that on 30th Street and 8th Avenue, that whole area, is just overrun with homeless people, naked homeless people, defecating in the streets, sleeping in the streets, just clogging the whole place up. No one's doing anything about it. De Blasio has done nothing. The police have allowed it to go on, maybe because of COVID. I don't really know, but I mean, that's hurting New York more than anything.
Well, as it is in L.A. Yeah. and San Francisco. So let's talk about the COVID thing. And I did, when I said riots and violence are going to be bigger than COVID, when I should have said it on an equal concern. But let's talk about the first thing Biden said he would do is mandate national mask wearing.
But I think he didn't say that last night.
He did
what
say
he
it.
Said,
I wish I had it in front of me to play it for you. He said the first thing I would do is pass an executive order, wear a mask, be patriotic. It would be patriotic to wear.
Yeah, and last week he said something that's got a little more teeth to it, which is he would ask every governor to mandate it in their state. And I think that's coming. If this thing doesn't decrease quickly after the election, we have to put this thing down. And everybody wearing a mask when they're out in public, that's the single biggest thing we can do to calm this thing down and to press that curve. And it's not a big intrusion, Larry, to put the mask on. You know, and I think I mentioned to you before, in my adult lifetime, there are two other things like this where people squawked, and we've gotten used to it. Number one, early 70s, mandatory seatbelt law. Senator Jim Buckley fought against it in the Senate. He lost, saying, as a conservative, the government doesn't have the right to make me wear a seatbelt. Well, he lost that fight. We all wear it. It isn't a big problem to put a belt and a harness on. We've gotten used to it. Number two, TSA at the airport after 9/11. A lot of people didn't like it, said it's violating my rights. Who are they to search me and my bags? Well, they did it. We do it. We've gotten used to it. It's not that big a problem. And I think the same thing with wearing a mask for a couple of months till this thing is under control, until we get a vaccine.
Very quickly, in the last 30 seconds, I saw a report that 30-35% of your restaurants in New York will never reopen again. They've been out
I've
of business
heard
so long.
Yeah. So and we don't have any in the city. I'm on Long Island.
Right.
We have in-person dining.
And the office
resumed.
And the office space is going crazy. It's dropping off. And
yeah, people aren't going. And because they're afraid to get there. They're afraid to be there. That's an issue of two things. We've got to get tests that work and are quick. And I don't know when that's coming. And it should be nationalized. And second comes the vaccine. That's the big deal breaker.
All right. Well, John, again, I appreciate you giving us some of your time. I know you have a luncheon coming up, so we'll let you go and enjoy your lunch. And if you have a little alcohol toast, give a toast to me.
It'll be a Snapple iced tea.
Okay.
I'll
thanks.
Think of you when I drink.
Thanks. John Labutier.
Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So let me update you on some items, and I'd asked a question, by the way, in the opening monologue today. Riddle me this: which governor promised to take a pay cut to help his state deal with COVID? Which governor did so and did not deliver on his promise? Now, before we get to that, Goodyear trying to clarify its policy. It all blew up, of course, the other day when apparently a slide of a presentation to employees was presented. And on it, basically, it was laying out what's acceptable and what's unacceptable to wear when you're at the Goodyear plant. Now, since the slide surfaced, the official statement from the Goodyear chairman and CEO is, well, that was not approved or distributed by our corporate or anyone outside that facility. And yet, it was obviously presented. And what it did, the slide listing things that you could not wear. You cannot wear anything that says Blue Lives Matter, be it a cap or a shirt. You can't do that. Certainly no MAGA hat. But you were allowed, and you couldn't wear anything that said Make America Great Again. All unacceptable. What was acceptable, you could wear material, wristband, cap, shirt that said Black Lives Matter or LGBT. Look, if you're going to have a policy that you have a zero tolerance for anything like this, that would be all of it. Well, President Trump, of course, then called for a boycott of Goodyear for it. I'm not big on calling for boycotts. I think the general public will make their own decision. But Goodyear quickly started coming out saying, no, we're all for police. We help provide police with vehicles and other things, trucks, and tires. He said, we do other things, and we do care about them. So if you're going to have a true zero policy, then you need to wipe all of it out. And of course, they also say, and we don't want anybody to do any political apparel. Black Lives Matter is political apparel at this point. You should know that. So the other day, President Trump decided he'd do something great, that several women gathered to watch him sign a proclamation on the 100th anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment. That took place at the Blue Room at the White House in D.C. August 18th, just the other day. And in that, of course, he issued a pardon for Susan B. Anthony, who was a Republican, but she had been arrested and charged in 1872 for voting illegally as a woman. Never really a full trial, never dealt with, never pardoned. So Trump decided on this 100th anniversary, let's go ahead and pardon her officially. He can't do anything right. You know that, because here came the Susan B. Anthony Museum saying her trial as it existed was the greatest outrage history ever witnessed. Not allowed to speak in her own defense. That's why I meant that she really had no true trial. And because she was a woman, and also because the judge dismissed the jury before pronouncing her guilty in order to pay a fine. The museum said she was outraged to be denied, and she said she would be outraged that you're giving her a pardon because she was guilty of nothing. The whole idea was trying to hold up the issue of women's suffrage and honor Susan B. Anthony. Now here you have Bill de Blasio, New York City mayor. I told you the other day, while they're battling to deal with COVID and all the other issues in New York City, they don't have enough money to be picking up trash as they should. 22,000 layoffs of city workers coming any day. And yet the mayor's wife is doing a little project that involves 8 full-time employees and their salaries total more than $1 million. And he's trying to defend it, saying, well, her group and everything, they're working on dealing with mental illness. It's deeper because of coronavirus, and this is intense work. One of them is a $70,000 videography. In other words, a guy that goes around and shoots pictures of different things that she and her staff are doing. She needs 8 full-time staff members. The videographer making $70,000, and her 8 full-time employees, their salary adds up to $1.1 million. And current and former employees in the mayor's office say, well, really, it's closer to $2 million. Bill de Blasio continues to defend it, say, well, that's important. It's, you know, she's doing the Lord's work. She needs the money. Oh, yeah, we may lay off 22,000 city workers, but she's doing good. I mentioned the other day, this could be just as clean and simple, folks. Just as clean and simple as happy wife, happy life. I mean, you're not happy, you don't have things happy at home, it may never be good for you. And then we come to California. Governor Newsom had said, this battle over coronavirus, this is tough. He said, what I'm going to do is take a pay cut to use some of that money to help in the coronavirus pandemic. He said, I pledge I'm going to voluntarily slash my salary when I ask state workers to do the same. He gets about $17,000 a month. And in checking the records lately, he hasn't taken any kind of cut. None. He promised he would, but no. And a California-based winery and hospitality owned by him was open well into March when others were ordered closed. You get to do things different when you're at the top, right? The Lori Lightfoot story, next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.